Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Money and Change. We're here live every Sunday, unless I play a concert. I only have six of them this year, so that's a good sign. So we'll be here just about every week live, right here on the Trim Radio Network. And I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of stuff going on. I don't know about you, but these gas prices are driving me crazy. Yeah, I mean, $4 a gallon here in the Midwest, we've never had anything like that. And here I am driving around and like doing my regular visits to different stores, you know, whether or not I go to Wally World or whether or not I go to Kroger's or wherever. And gas is $4 a gallon for just regular gas. I mean, it's regusting, especially when you take a look at stuff like diesel. I have friends that have diesel trucks and they're saying, I can't afford to run my trucks. And my neighbor across the street decides, hey, I've got all kinds of problems. I can't run my diesel trucks for my business unless I charge my customers through the nose. And to get to my business, I'm driving my Tesla. He's actually saving money that way, using his Tesla to go back and forth to his office. Must be nice. Well, anyhow. Oh, some crazy times. It's just out of sight. But anyhow, welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network. And I hope you check us out on our Facebook page, Money and Change / Financially Prepped. I hope you check out our former shows that we've done in the past because we're on YouTube and Rumble on the Trim Radio Network. Okay, so you need to check us out. It's trimradio.com. But check us out. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Wow, let's see what I've got to talk about today because we got to do some plugs. And then we have to get into the show because there's a lot of stuff. And hopefully I can help you save money, especially in retirement, especially paying taxes. Oh, taxes. Oh, today is the 12th. Oh, my goodness. You have 3 more days to pay your taxes. Have you done that yet? Are you breaking out in a sweat? Well, we're going to cover some things you might want to check over in taxes. So that's coming up. Well, let's see here. What do we got going on here with Money and Change? Let's go right to our Fab Four. Matter of fact, I was just speaking with Victoria Smith prior to the show. And she's down in Tennessee, and I bet you it's kind of warm down there. It's about 80 degrees here in the Midwestern part of Ohio. Well, anyhow, Michael Bejas is our founder and CEO. And he's responsible for all the overall vision and mission and leadership and performance of the entire company. And then we have Raskala Stefan, our computer guru. He's the chief operating officer responsible for the day-to-day operation management of the network, ensuring efficiency and quality. And then there's me. I still don't know what I'm supposed to do. And they say chief relationship officer. I haven't figured that one out yet. I guess I'm supposed to make people happy. Maybe that's why I do my world every Wednesday live. And I guess I'm responsible for building and maintaining the foundation of trust and goodwill necessary for long-term success. Well, we're in it for the long term. And I'll tell you what, we want to be successful. We want to be able to help you save money. Okay. We have Victoria Smith. She's the chief marketing officer, responsible for all marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. I guess I can breathe after saying all of that. I'll tell you what, she has a very good show on Thursdays. You want to check her show out. And if you need help with advertising and marketing with your company, your college or university or club or whatever, you have to listen to Victoria Smith and get a hold of her too, because she'll work with you and she'll have some really good things planned for you. Also, if you want to get a hold of us, there's this red dot. It just came back this week. If you click on that red dot, it says, how can we help you today? Put your name in, your phone number, and say, I want to know more about doing my own show on the Trim Radio Network. What do I need to do? Then all you have to do is just go on down and click send the message, and somebody will get back with you, okay? Doing the shows are very easy. You can do your own show, very little cost. You're going to go all over the world. As a matter of fact, I have people in Myanmar, which used to be called Burma, and India, and South Africa, Kenya, all kind of places in Africa, as long as they speak English, Europe and North America. So I'm all over the world. I imagine I have people in Japan, but I don't speak Japanese, and hopefully they speak English. So Ernie, if you're out there, say hi. Anyhow, he's in Okinawa, by the way. But if you want to get a hold of us and do your own show, it's very easy to do. Just let us know and we'll walk you right through the whole process. It's very easy to do. So what else is going on? Oh, our shows. Yeah, there's that red dot again. It's right there. Click on that dot and you can also ask us any questions or whatever and join us, okay? Money and Change every Sunday at 7 p.m. So you want to check us out. We've got Life Walk with Christ God every Wednesday at 7 p.m. with Michael Bejas. We have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever every Wednesday. And this Wednesday, I've got a guest. And we're going to be talking about some different stuff. We're going to have some fun too, but check us out. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Then we have Victoria Smith Natural Marketer Podcast on Thursdays. We have Revelation with Peter Kling on Thursdays. Oh, I forgot. We have Dora. And she is on Tuesdays. And her show is Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry. So you have to tune into that one. We also have Offsides College Football Top 25 every Thursday with Michael Bejas and company. We have the Positude Podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. We have Adventure Awaits Around the Bend every Saturday at 1 p.m. And at 1:30, we have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck. But at night, we have the Red Pill Reality Show with Roscala Stefan, and he's on from 9 until midnight. He does a 3-hour shift. He brings in guests. He has videos and everything else. Check it out. Matter of fact, I was just on that show, actually watching, every Saturday. I get on there, and I watch the show, and I have fun. And Roscala will respond back because we have a chat room in there. It's fun. And he has some really, really, really good information. So you want to check out the Red Pill Reality Show every Saturday at 9 p.m. because it's live. Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, you got to support us. You really have to support us. Why? Because we have bills we got to pay, and the bills that we have to pay are airtime. I mean, everything else we kind of do on our own, but airtime, hey, that is expensive. So if you want to donate to us, that's fine. Just hit the red button and say, I want to donate to trimradio.com. How do I do it? Or you can advertise, and our advertising rates are very, very reasonable, especially when compared to a lot of other radio and TV series. Okay, it's very easy, very reasonable. Also, buy the merchandise. That's how you can really help us, is buy the merchandise. We have t-shirts. We have hats. We've got mugs. We've got Money and Change t-shirts. We've got Money and Change mugs with that lid on there. It's a great travel mug. Insulated. Man, is it good. We have the Money and Change white glossy mug. We have Offsides College Football Top 25 Premium Piqué Polo shirts. Those are nice shirts, too. We have the Offsides College Football Top 25 Unisex Garment Dyed Heavyweight T-shirt. Those are good shirts. And on page two, we've got kids' T-shirts. We've got more mugs. We've got more mugs than you can shake a stick at. We've got them for Offsides College Football. We've got them for Rascal's Red Pill Reality Show. We've got mugs. And we've got Rascal's Red Pill Reality Show t-shirt. We have the round mouse pad. It's a famous mouse pad because you cannot corner a mouse on that pad. We also have the Trim Creators Dad's Hat. We've got the beanies, and we've got ceramic ornaments. And if you have earpods, all right, earpods. Anyhow, if you have those darn things, and you want to keep them together in a case, we sell the case. It's right there. It's the rubber air case pod. Okay? And we may have more stuff in the future. You never know. But donate, advertise, or buy the merch. That keeps us on the air. Because we don't get paid doing our shows. Period. Wow. If we go to Facebook, you know, we have our own page, and there's my AI mug. It's kind of interesting. Victoria was working with it, and she suddenly said, hey, I've got something new for you, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh, this is really great. Oops, one thing, I'm not married. She's got a wedding ring on me. Oh, I don't know. Anyhow, we'll get that corrected. Anyhow, there I am. It kind of looks like me, I guess. And I'll tell you what, everything that we're talking about on the show, if you look down in the comment section, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about national debt. We're going to talk a little bit about nuclear power and breeders. And we're going to talk about Saudi Arabia and AAA fuel prices and more. It's all listed there. So if you missed the show, you can go back to the Facebook page and you can get the information there. It's very easy. All that information will be there just like we did in the other shows. It's all listed. And if you missed the show, as soon as it's uploaded to YouTube, I will go ahead and publish the link and we will show the show from beginning to end. Very easy to do. If you want to join us, hey, hit that red button and say, I want to join Stu's Money and Change Facebook group. And I'll go ahead and invite you. I get several invites a week. And if they look legit, I will let them enter the group. If they're fake or they want to market things on our Facebook page, I don't allow that. We just want to provide the information to help people, okay? And you can check out our Facebook page. It's easy to join. Just let us know. We'll get you in there, all right? Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah, there's other stuff, too, that we do. We also have videos we put up there. Account takeover scams, Amazon. Check out that one. We've got other things like 10 things I did this week to make and save lots of money. That's Amber Stork. Okay. And I'll tell you what, you have to check out Prep. That's the Prepper Princess. And she's out in California. So you want to listen to what she does to save money. We have all kinds of stuff in here. Get them while you can, okay? Using six canned foods to survive hard times. We've got Dave Kobler. I've known Dave for 16 years now. And he's been a YouTuber for, well, 16 years. And he talks a lot about the economy and what's going on. He's a good guy. I've talked to him a couple times. And he's down in South Carolina. Matter of fact, he's so close to North Carolina, he can spit over the ridge and be there. Okay? But he's down in South Carolina. So we put a lot of different stuff on here, whether it's Prep Princess or we go to, you know, Dave or anybody else. If it's important, I will put them on the air. Okay? I'll link the heck out of the videos that I think are going to save you money or let you know how the economy is going to go. So you can check it out here. All I really do is help people. If I can help one person this week, that's fantastic. If I can help two, three, four, five, if I can help a dozen, that's fine. Then I've done my job, even though I'm not getting paid for it. Okay? Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yes, the U.S. debt clock. You know, we always like to talk about the debt clock because that's giving us some really true numbers as to what's going on. And right now we stand at $39 trillion, $110 billion, $70 million in climbing in debt. Why? Because the government spends like drunken sailors. Only drunken sailors know when to quit because they run out of money. And anymore, they have to save their money so they don't get drunk anymore. Well, very little. The debt per citizen is about $113,846. And the debt per taxpayer is $357,069. And you look at the tax revenue coming in, we're $39 trillion in debt. We're only bringing in right now $5 trillion, a little over. And the revenue that we're bringing in per citizen is $15,838. Wow. I mean, and you're looking at state debt, you're looking at federal debt, local debt, debt per citizen, municipal employees, average salary. I mean, you take a look at all this data that's here, you know, payroll tax revenue, excise tax revenue, tax, and tax on taxes tax. You look at everything here, and you have everything. You've got a mortgage calculator, a gold supply and demand chart. You've got home sales. You've got auto sales, energy output, gold and precious metals. So let's say if we click on gold and precious metals, what do we come up with? The United States, gold holdings by country. Wow. That's 286,911,111 tons of gold. That's a lot. And we can take a look at the silver and so forth. And if we go back, we can probably find out what it would be per ounce. But down here at the bottom, let's see, going on, M2 money supply, $22 trillion plus. Currency and credit derivatives now, $888 trillion. Holy cow. Dollar to silver ratio is $1,116 per ounce. And dollar to gold ratio is $8,881 per ounce. When you're figuring all of the numbers, and you take a look at gold supply and demand, that's another set of figures, okay? So that's a lot of information right there on the U.S. debt clock. It's free for everybody to go. I've got a link to it on our Facebook page. Check it out, okay? Wow, what's going on with India? I saw this today, and it was kind of interesting because it was in Zero Hedge, and it said India's nuclear bet is starting to pay off. Well, what did they bet? Well, according to Haley Zaremba on oilprice.com, India fast breeder reactor in Tamil Nadu achieved criticality early this month, making it self-sustaining and only the second commercial plant of its kind in the world. The 500-megawatt plant advances India's goal of reaching 100 gigawatts. That's a lot of power of nuclear capacity by 2047, up from roughly 9 gigawatts today. Now, while the milestone is significant, experts warn India's all of the above energy strategy may need to become more targeted as demand grows. And India is becoming a manufacturing country, and they need power. And like China, they need power too, as well as other countries. And some of the other countries that they don't burn coal, or they don't have a lot of natural gas to burn, they have to use nuclear. And a breeder reactor produces more nuclear pellets to use in other reactors. And they're saying this advanced reactor, capable of producing more fuel than it consumes, reflects the depth of our scientific capability and the strength of our engineering enterprise. It is a decisive step towards harnessing our vast thorium reserves in the third stage of the program. Thorium. The closest I ever got to anything like that happened to be the tritium ponds at Fernald. Now, there's a big difference between tritium and thorium, trust me. But at Fernald, north of Cincinnati, actually northwest of Cincinnati, it's been decommissioned now, but they used to enrich uranium. It was interesting. And I swear, when I went up that way to their fish and game club, I was invited up there several times. The water glowed green. I swear it was a nuclear green. It was different. It gave me the heebie-jeebies, being there. And what I ended up doing was, when I got home, automatically the clothes came off. It went into the washer. I washed them several times. I went ahead and took a good long hot shower, and just to make sure that I didn't have any of that dust on me. And trust me, I was really skittish about going up there to the fish and game club, even though it was a great place to go. I was only about a mile from the Fernald enrichment site, I'll put it that way. It was interesting. Anyhow, Saudi Arabia, they've done something over the past few years. They have put a pipeline from the Sea of Hormuz over to the Red Sea. And what they've done is enabled ships to bypass going to the Straits of Hormuz and just going over and getting it on the east-west pipeline. Even though it doesn't handle as much, it's only about 7 million barrels a day. But it helps, because now that that's in process and other alternatives are being considered, then they won't have to put up with the Strait of Hormuz and Iran's kind of controlling issues, we'll put it that way. So last week, attacks on Manifa and Karaz each knocked out about 300,000 barrels a day. So if they can get 7 million coming out of that pipeline, that will be really good. And what does that do for gas prices? Eventually, it will bring them down, because there's a lot of oil that's backed up beyond the Strait of Hormuz. And that's what is driving the rates higher, especially not necessarily for the United States, because the United States gets about a quarter of its oil from Saudi Arabia. The rest of it we get ourselves here. But for Europe, it's driving the prices up there. Wow, speaking of prices of oil, the AAA, I don't know about you, but when I'm out driving, I'm looking for cheap gasoline. I really am. And I only buy at different places because I trust the gasoline that they're selling. So if I'm in my hometown, I will go to one of two sources, and one of them is Murphy's by Wally World, better known as Walmart. And I always get gas there. Why? Number one, it's usually the cheapest in town. And I've never had a problem with it. And the staff is fantastic. I mean, it's really a good place. Wei Wei or Wawa, depending on how you want to pronounce it, is going to build one across the street from it. And down from it, we have other places like Speedway. And there's another one. They're all fighting for the same business. It's what they're doing. But I basically go for the lowest possible price. Now, I live on the western side of town, and we have Kroger's and a couple of other places, but their prices are higher on the western side of town. So naturally, if I'm on the eastern portion of the city, I will go there and get gas because it's always 10 to 20 cents cheaper per gallon. And you take a look at the diesel prices. Holy cow, that is out of sight. It's a good thing I don't have a diesel car or a diesel truck or a tractor for that matter. I mean, it's getting expensive to do that. And like I said at the beginning, my neighbor bought a Tesla so he can drive back and forth from his office back to his house. And he can charge it at the house, and it's relatively cheap to do. The only thing of it is the distance that you can travel in that Tesla is about 260 miles. And so you might want to figure 120 miles one direction, 120 miles back. That gives you 240 miles with 20 miles left over, right? And I keep kidding him about when is he going to put a trailer on the back of his Tesla with a generator on it. But it's a neat car. It really is. And there are some Japanese companies that are looking at more electric cars. And we've also got a Chinese company by the name of BYD. And I saw a video, believe it or not, an English-speaking Russian who's in Thailand, Ivan. He likes to talk about cars, he loves cars. And he was talking about a BYD electric car. And he was showing the interior and so forth. And he says, yeah, a lot of Chinese cars have an odor to them. But the BYD didn't. And it was a very nice car. And it wasn't that expensive. I think it was about $15,000 US. And in, the currency in Thailand, they use a baht, BHT. It was so many million baht. And I'm like, wow, that sounds expensive. But when you compare it to the US dollar, it's not that expensive. And I imagine if they had a dealership here, I would try one out for $15,000. It might be worthwhile having. The only thing of it is, where are the charging stations? And what he has done, he has actually used the dryer plug for his washer and dryer set. The dryer plug takes a 220, and he actually hooked into that to charge his car, which is kind of neat. And he can charge his car in about 45 minutes. And he only charges at 80%. He doesn't want to really ruin the battery. I wouldn't either. I'd hate to replace one. But anyhow. That's his Tesla. I just wonder what a BYD would do. I would give it a shot. I'm a little bit adventurous, but I'm also a little bit cautious too. Well, anyhow, AAA fuel prices, here they are. You can take a look at Ohio right now. It's 390 to 377. And that's national retail prices. And then you get into the red states, and that's 427, 428 to 403. And then you get out into the red states, and you're looking at California, Nevada, Washington. You're up into 589, down to 428. That is worrisome. I mean, hey, if we didn't have this going on with this stuff going on in Iran, I imagine that we would probably be at least in the $2 range, 250 range for gasoline in Ohio. So every time you change the dynamics of the oil industry and there's a restriction someplace, the prices are going to go up. It's called supply and demand. So if we were flush with a lot of oil and everything, I'll tell you what, the prices would be cheaper. But since there's a little incursion going on over in Iran, yeah, we're going to be stuck with higher gas prices maybe this summer. So watch where you travel. Keep your eye on the gas prices. I guess Gas Buddy is one of them you can use to check to try to save money. Watch how much you're going to spend when you travel. I know the airlines have now raised their rates, and what they do is they use the baggage fees. And they raise the rates there because their aviation fuel is expensive. Well, go figure. No matter how we do it, we're always getting screwed. Okay? That's the way I look at it. What else is going on? Oh, not just death to America, it's death to everyone when fertilizer supply shock hits. Well, guess what? If you don't have the stuff coming in from oil, then you're not going to have fertilizer, are you? Because fertilizer is an offshoot of the oil industry. Wow, maybe we're going to have to go back to what the Amish use. And I imagine they could get a lot of it out of Washington, D.C. to fertilize the fields, because it's pretty deep in D.C., if you know what I mean. And if you don't, look up the term hooey. But anyhow, it says Santiago's capital's Brent Johnson, known for his dollar milkshake theory, had an ominous warning at last evening's ZH debate. Even if the war is settled, and there's no guarantee of that, baked in supply shocks could be very bad for agriculture. And this comes as just yesterday from the Mises Institute's Connor O'Keefe. And he warned a time bomb in global food markets. And Johnson joined the Mark Dr. Doom Faber and Thoughtful Money Adam Taggart to debate what comes after the tenuous ceasefire. Well, they came up and they said inflation for three, or for the, not three, oh, if I could only read, inflation for the, but not for me. And Faber's argument centers around on a disconnect between official inflation data and lived experience. And while the legendary shadow stats is no longer updated, it last had May 23 real inflation at 8%, and that's annually, and double the government's report of 4%. So if the government tells you it's 6%, maybe realistically now it's 12%. What's going to happen is the cost of goods are going to go up if it's based on a derivative from oil. So be prepared and stock up on your food, your canned goods. You know, I always tell people, pay down your debt, get out of debt, put some money aside, set up that emergency fund. You know, $5 a week, $10 a week, $20 a week. $100 a month depends it what you can do, but you build that safety net. Then you buy some long-term foods, canned goods, freeze-dried goods. MREs are too expensive and they don't taste that good. But in a pinch, maybe they would work. But stock up on your proteins. Stock up on your canned goods. Stock up on your soaps, detergents, paper towels, and the all-important toilet paper. Make sure you have a good first aid kit. Make sure you have a lot of stuff. Because if you're not prepping now, you're behind the eight ball. And you're going to have problems. Make sure you can take water and purify it and store it. At least 3 gallons per person per day. Make sure you have a good first aid kit. And not some Wally World special. Make sure you have a good first aid kit. Make sure you have your medications if you need medications. Make sure you have those blue tarps you can put up in case you get a hole in the roof. Or maybe a window breaks for some reason. Those blue tarps, they're very cheap. You can get them at Home Depot. You can get them at Lowe's. Wally World, better known as Walmart. And other places, okay? Make sure you have the right clothing for the season. Make sure that you can cook. Whether or not, if it's with propane, charcoal, wood, whatever. Be prepared. If you're not prepared and things go to you know what in a handbasket, you're going to be in trouble and the government's not going to help you and social agencies can only help you so much. So you're going to have to help yourself. Okay? Wow. Here's a little funny from the University of Findlay. I saw this this week and I thought, we better play that one because it's kind of funny.
Welcome to the University of Findlay up in Ohio, looking flat and windy, flooding is life, so we're driving around. Might smell like a barn when we're hitting the town, because our program's got equestrian, and we make great veterinarians. But don't walk in the yards, you won't graduate, and don't step on the docks, you won't get your Emmy. He's late night rocking it. Logan's and Deep's Roast Chocolate. We're at Main Street Deli where the games are dope. Brew U West End where the floors are slow. Yeah, stuck in the middle while we cross the mansion. Tiffin, Trenton, two of everything. We got Troy Crazies down at basketball. Joining all the clubs, getting over and bold. City, USA, we really love to play. Old Main, Color, and the Mass Museums. Rockless Burger and the Magic Man. $5 parking tickets.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's the best deal in town. Welcome to the University of Findlay up in Ohio, looking flat and windy, flooding is life, so we're driving around. Might smell like a barn when we're hitting the town, because our program's got equestrian, and we make great veterinarians. But don't walk in the yards, you won't graduate, and don't step on the docks, you won't get your Emmy.
That's right. Don't step on the dot, and don't walk through the arch. And that's the Griffith Memorial Arch. Anyhow, I saw this, and I thought, hey, this would be fun. I mean, come on. They had a spoof that they were going to remove the arch and move it someplace on campus. I thought, no, you can't do that. And it was just a spoof. It was an April Fool's joke. Well, anyhow, so that's going on there. Oh, what's going on in China? BYD, remember I talked about that, introduces a 3.9-second 0-60 electric SUV with massive range. There's that BYD that I talked about. I don't know. They're not all that big. Like a U.S. SUV would be. They're a little bit smaller. But they look decent. I just wonder how they would work. Well, anyhow, the BYD Great Tang full-size SUV is now reaching dealerships across China ahead of its planned April pre-sale debut at the Beijing Auto Show. Now, the funny thing of it is, not only is it being sold in China, but it's also being sold in Russia and other countries. And I guess it's fairly well made, too. Well, the SUV is expected to deliver around 390 miles of driving range. Man, 390 miles is not bad. Positioning it as a long-distance option in the segment. And as the production version of the Dynasty D concept, the Great Tang sits on top of the BYD's SUV lineup. Now, it measures more than 17.4 feet in length and rides on a 123-inch wheelbase, making it the brand's largest crossover to date. And could you imagine 3.9-second acceleration? Up to 60 miles an hour? I know I was talking to my neighbor today, and he was just getting ready to go over to his sister's across town. And we finished talking, and I told him to fix his muffler, and he floored the car. Of course, it doesn't have a muffler. And he took off, and he was down at the end of the street, which is a fairly decent street, in less than 2 seconds. I mean, he was gone. Hopefully the police don't start patrolling my street very much because my neighbor has a tendency to have a lead foot, and that electric car will fly. The all-electric BYD Great Tang uses the company's second generation Blade battery architecture. And it produces 585 kilowatts and can accelerate from 0 to 62 miles an hour in about 3.9 seconds. I don't know. Would that work on I-75? If I have to drive to Cincinnati, would that work? It'd be awful quick. Well, BYD will also introduce a plug-in hybrid version of the Great Tang built on its DM1 and DM P powered systems. The DMP configuration steps up output significantly using a dual motor setup, produces a combined 400 kilowatts. Woo! Aiming for upper mid-market SUV space amid strong competition. And there was a video to watch. Now, I'm not going to play the video, but it's there, okay? The ones that I've seen, the BYD cars, look decent. They have a really neat sound system in them. So I don't know. I mean, if we would ever get them here in the States, I think I would try one as long as I could plug it in someplace. That's the big thing. It's the fear that I have. What else is going on? Car shopping websites report uptick in EV interest following gasoline price shock. Yeah, gasoline prices go up. Electric cars, might consider it. But it limits your distance that you can go. So if you wanted to travel from where I live to Cincinnati, Ohio, and back, I could do it in an electric car. I could probably drive around in Cincinnati for maybe 50 miles and drive home and not have any problems. I could probably drive to Indianapolis and back with no problems. I could drive to Columbus and no problems. That's the significance of where I live, because I'm kind of central to Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Columbus, Ohio. Okay? So one of those cars might work for me as long as I don't take it for a joyride and go out and drive all over the place and suddenly get down to maybe about 20 minutes of electricity left in the car. That's my big worry. But people are looking at electric vehicles. And if the prices come down, I might consider it. And if we ever get a BYD and their prices are still at $15,800 for a nice electric car, I might consider it. I really would. As long as there are places that can fix them and charge them. Wow, IMF warns Iran war will slow global growth, raise inflation, and worsen food insecurity. Now, that's what they're saying, International Monetary Fund. It's all based on oil. Why? Because you've got fertilizer. You have things to think about there, okay? I'm just going to link that article And you can take a look at it when you go to our Facebook page, okay? But they're worried because if you don't get the fertilizer down on the ground and plant your crops at the right time, you're not going to have very many good crops. And if you don't have any good crops, what's going to happen? Starvation. Prices of food's going to go up. It's a cycle, people. It really is. Okay. And that's why, you know, I want to bring this information out at Money and Change. Well, I've got a video for you, how to avoid two troubling new retirement trends. How many of you are going to retire? Well, listen to this one.
Like, there's a trend where people are saving less. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Well, there is no real right number for everyone when it comes to their retirement savings. It is concerning that people are saving less, and we're seeing that with lower contribution rates to 401k plans. But I think that's, you know, we're seeing a crunch right now. Inflation's gone up. People are scared about the pullback in the markets. And wages haven't kept pace. So I think, you know, consumers are really struggling with where to place those savings and how much they should be saving. At the same time, their costs are going up.
What about market volatility overall? How is this shaping decisions for new retirees? I've got to think that because we've had so many shocks over the last few years, starting with the pandemic, and there's, you know, there's a new war, there's a new something every single year. So how should retirees be thinking about market volatility here?
There's always a headline. There's always something to worry about. There's always a shock to the market. So I'm glad you phrased it that way. I think that if someone is gearing up for retirement, in retirement, in their 60s and thinking about it, it's a really a great time to take action. It's not too late to start structuring your investments so that you don't have to worry about these shocks, right? Sequence of returns risk is something that we talk about as financial advisors. And you can build a defensible portfolio so that when the time comes and you're ready to leave the workforce, you don't have to worry about those short-term market movements. Yeah, it's, you know, decreasing the value of your portfolio overall in the long term, but in the short term, you can keep some safe investments to provide that income when you leave the workforce.
We have a new trend here that I'm seeing, and it's, I've seen this before in the global financial crisis, so there's a big warning. Retirees having to unretire. And that number seems to have been going up over the last 6 months. I remember 2009-10, we got a new class of Walmart greeters because their income had just been wiped out and they had to re-enter the job force. Is it anything like that, or is it just kind of a smaller shift?
We have seen the number of people, the number of our clients tick up who have had to unretire. And sometimes it's not a bad thing if people are doing it intentionally. Like, it's a big life change to retire and lose your social circles, et cetera. So a lot of people pick up jobs for the extra income, but also the extra social connectivity. But we have seen more and more people feel like they need to go back to work. And that, you know, typically is a function of people underestimating how much they're gonna be paying out of pocket for healthcare costs. You know, you think you have Medicare, all your expenses are covered, but that's not always the case, Part B premiums, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then I think recently it's a function of, you know, inflation. People are spending more than they expected.
Yes.
You know, you don't need to look too far. I'm sure on the headlines right now, it's showing gas prices and, you know, that's impacting everybody's day to day. And that'll create a lot of fear, especially as you're looking at a 10, 20, 30 year horizon in your retirement.
It seems.
Yeah. Well, tax time and IRS penalties. Listen to this.
To the big idea presented by Block Advisors, built by H&R Block. With tax season in full swing, I want to take a second to break down estimated tax payments for small business owners. As a small business owner, you likely will not have income tax and other payroll taxes withheld from your earnings like an employee would. That's where estimated tax payments come in. They are designed to make sure you are paying taxes periodically during the year instead of all at once, because that's too much. Most small business owners use Form 1040-ES to figure out their estimated payments. The good news is you can submit all of that online. These payments typically cover income tax and self-employed tax. Self-employment taxes are basically your Social Security and Medicare contributions, similar to what employees have withheld from their wages. So when are you required to make these payments? Generally, you'll need to if you expect to owe $1,000 or more in taxes. Now that's income tax plus self-employment tax. and your withholding doesn't cover 90% of this year's tax or 100% of last year's tax. It's also important to consider all your sources of income when estimating how much you'll owe. Estimated payments are due on a quarterly schedule: April 15th for Q1, June 15th for Q2, September 15th for Q3, and don't forget January 15th of the following year for Q4. Making these payments on time is really important, y'all, because there's a penalty for missing them. It's not a flat fee like many payments you might be used to, but it's calculated for each quarter you miss, so put it on your calendar. The IRS determines that penalty by taking the federal short-term rate for the quarter you missed and adding 3%. One last thing now, if your business is taxed as a C corporation, the rules are a little different. The corporation itself pays income tax and has to make its own estimated payments. So make sure you understand the requirements for your business type.
Yeah. Taxes, taxes, taxes. And that's coming up. Hey, speaking of taxes, top tax tips retirees should know. Listen to this.
Retirees in particular, it is best to make sure you're getting the most out of your filings, as every dollar counts amid rising costs of living. So here with a closer look at Yahoo Finance's Carrie Hannon. Carrie, great to see you. What are some of the tips you have to share with us ahead of tax day?
Hi, Jared. Yeah, we're getting close. So the final weekend here to get rolling. Now, there's a couple, I have five just quickies. Hopefully everyone's pretty organized with all the paperwork at this point, but the one thing you should remember is if you had earnings in 2025, if you had a side gig, if you were consulting, you are retired, but you have those ongoing earned income, contribute to a traditional individual retirement account. And you can contribute if you're 50 or over, you can toss in $8,000 there for tax year 2025. So that's a really good thing to remember. The second thing is if you were in a high, if you have not enrolled in Medicare yet, and you were in a high deductible health insurance plan, go for the HSA, the health savings account. You can put in $4,300 for individuals for last year, for 2025, if you're enrolled in one of these plans. So by all means, do this. I love HSAs. They're tax deductible going in. The money grows tax-free. And when you take it out, it's tax-free. So this is great if you can sock some money away there. The third thing is, don't forget, this year we have a new deduction for anyone who is 65 or older.
Yes.
It's $6,000 for each individual. So if you qualify, now there are higher incomes, it phases out at the higher incomes. But definitely don't forget to check that off if you qualify for that. Two other things on that list there, Jared, is number one, please file electronically if you can. And yes, the IRS, go to the website, they can help you do that. Because here's what's happened. If you go to the post office, there's a new postmark rule that it doesn't actually stamp your postmark until it's in process, it's in the facility. So if you're showing up on April 15th, it could be postmarked for the 16th, and you're gonna have a penalty and you may have some interest charges. So by all means, if you're doing a paper one and you are actually going to that post office, ask them to manually stamp it at the desk right in front of you so you know it's April 15th. And if you are really freaking out, do an extension. You can file an extension on up to April 15th, and that will push your filing your actual return till October 15th. But again, that doesn't mean you can't pay your, you have to pay your tax. So yes, you have to do an estimated amount to file that payment to the IRS by April 15th, but you don't have to scramble to get. And if you over, if you set aside, send them too much money, you'll apply it to next year's taxes.
All right, how long do you think people should be expecting to wait before they get their tax returns? And I can tell you anecdotally, it took me about 3 weeks.
Okay, so for the refunds, here's the deal. If you file electronically, the IRS says you're probably going to get it within 21 days. If you file by paper, it can take up to 6 months. So, ooh. Oh, I'm sorry, 6 weeks.
Okay.
Sorry,
a little better.
Not 6 months, 6 weeks. But it is, so it really is, it does behoove you to go ahead. If you can do it electronically, you'll get it much quicker.
All right. Now, what should retirees already be thinking of for the next tax season? We're talking next year.
Yeah. Oh, you're, here's some, a couple of things to throw in the hopper. Start thinking now if you want to make a conversion from a traditional individual retirement account to a Roth conversion. This is going to mean you're taking a chunk of that, you're putting it in a Roth so that it can continue to grow tax-free and you can take it out tax-free, but you will have a tax bill on the amount that you take out this year. So you want to plan that very carefully. A lot of people kind of take little buckets at a time. So think that through. Hopefully sit down with your accountant or your financial advisor for that one. But it is something most people think about. You also might be thinking about planning your required minimum distributions, your RMD. Mm-hmm. If you turn 73 this year in 2026, that means you're going to own your first RMD next April 1st of 2027, and the second one December 31st of next year. That sounds like, oh, great, I'll get away with not paying it for this year. But what happens, Jared, is next year in 2027, you're going to get socked with a double whammy of two RMD. So if you can take the first one by the end of this year, I would suggest go ahead and do it. And the other thing people think about is qualified charitable distribution. So if you don't need your RMDs to live on this year, you might consider directly sending that, taking money from your traditional individual retirement, your IRA, put it into the charity of your choice or a couple of them. There is a limit of how much you can do, but that lops up what your taxable income will be for 2026.
All right, Carrie, tons of insights there. Thank you so much and have a great weekend.
Yeah. And taxes are coming due. Today's the 12th. You've got 3 days. A whole 3 days. Isn't that scary? 3 days. And I'll tell you what, she was right. Take your taxes, if you're doing them paper-wise, you take them to the front counter and have them hand-stamp them in. I did that this week. And I went to the counter, I said, I need these stamped. And he said, we'll do it right now and consider your taxes paid. And he puts them in a pile. And that's the good way to do it. Also, mine was also electronically done, but I had to sign some paperwork and so forth. So that was taken care of. Wow, we've covered a lot of stuff. And we'll have even more next week. I think Wednesday on My World, we're going to have a guest and we're going to talk a little bit about government accountability as well as a few other things. These non-disclosure agreements, I wonder about that. And data centers and everything else, and maybe politicians not leveling with us. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that on Wednesday at 8 p.m. So join us then, live. With that, guys, that's all I've got. Have a good week. Save your money. Pay down your debt. Get your taxes paid, okay? And start saving for next year. Talk to you later. Bye.